WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s, and highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday. Highs staying in the 60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Welcome to Playmakers. Afternoon, Wisconsin. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our sports director around these parts, Michael Comer.
How you doing, man?
How are you doing?
Tired.
Yeah.
Change the weather.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about it, man. It hits you. It hits me every year, even though I should be used to it by now.
Yeah.
If you're not used to it, you want to talk with that, we can also talk sports. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Look forward to talking to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for listening. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Want to send a shout out to them. Appreciate them for always sponsoring this show. And of course, giving us a chance to talk with all of you. Michael and I got River Kings to talk. Got to get into that a little bit. Want to get into our schedule as well. But Michael, if the whiteout game wasn't enough for people to realize that Penn State it shouldn't be talked about anymore.
Right.
They gave us one more. Franklin and the boys gave us another reason. We'll get to that in a moment. But my story, I want to start actually with my story of the show. And I just want to give a shout out to Holly Rowe. ESPN sideline reporter, who I was watching the Miami FSU game.
Yep.
And great game, by the way. Excellent game.
That was a fun one.
Two really good college football teams. FSU is not at the level that they want to be yet and could possibly be at, but Miami is there, and mm-hmm. they are that team. And mm-hmm. outside of Ohio State, no other team has impressed me more than Miami. You can make an argument. Miami's had the toughest schedule in college football to start the first month.
Yeah.
Nice, impressive victory for them, and I think still a stand-up game by Florida State. But nobody stood up better than Holly Rowe, who got barreled in, along with Michael Irvin, by a play at the sideline, for those that didn't see it. And she immediately, she got up pretty quickly and everything, and the announcers see this happen, and were kind of teasing. And so they open Holly's mic, and this is not a planned moment. And And Holly Rowe, in that moment, goes, well, I got an injury report up, injury update on myself. I'm okay. And I thought the way she handled that, I teach improv, and I have students for 3-4 years that may not handle that situation as gracefully as Holly Rowe did. Not only a great sideline reporter for decades, and I think I've always enjoyed her work on the sideline. She puts up with some real jerks and handles it with class.
Gosh, yes.
Every time has always handled it with class. I can't think of one bad thing I've ever thought about her. I've always thought she did a good job. In that moment, she won me over more than she ever has. I thought she handled that perfectly. Well done, Miss Rowe. Very well played. I thought that was well played.
I think she could have gone somewhere else with that, but getting the wrath of Michael Irvin and maybe being an off-color joke.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's up my... That's up my avenue, though, for humor anyways.
If ESPN was on HBO, maybe it'd have been different. If it was on HBO or something, then maybe
and I can tell you what it was off the air, because I like this job.
I think I got an idea, because I think we might have had the same thought. I also want to apologize to the audience. I am one of the go-to people when it comes... There's a billion sports shows. How do we make ourselves stand out? First off, we learn to talk.
We don't do it ourselves.
We don't just do it ourselves. We got a big team around here, as we send a shout out to Randy and Seth, Laura and Beth and Don, and all of our board operators out there, along with all the connections that we have over the years, like Gene Delisio and so many other great people. We cover Central Wisconsin sports better than anybody. Nobody covers it better. Heck, Michael covers it better than anybody.
I don't know about that.
I've been
lacking.
I will die on that hill. Go ahead and call up for it. This is a call-in show. Call up any of you out there. Some people in particular can feel free to call up and question me on that one. I would love to challenge on it. We do those things, and we are the home for great names in sports. I like to think that we brought a number of different people to the audience and stuff over the years, and I have been remiss in not mentioning that there is a young man that plays for the Cincinnati Bearcats by the name of Matthew McDoom. Matthew McDoom is his God-given name, Michael. And I have not brought this up to the audience. I am sorry.
Hopefully he gets into the legal world after this. He can be Judge Doom.
Come on. Yes, yes, he has to. I mean, I don't care how good of a football player he is. He has to get into the judicial system. I have become his parents. He's now a Maloff, not just a McDoom. he's a corner. He's pretty good, too. He had a couple nice plays this weekend. So, yes, Matthew McDoom, Holly Rowe. Now we can talk a little bit of college football. And I do want to begin with Penn State. Because not only was this an epic loss, and we've seen plenty of upsets in our lifetime, but this is a different one. It's about the way that the game went down and was played. And we've seen losses like going over the biggest upsets in college football history. You've got Howard versus UNLV back in 2017, where FCS Howard beat the UNLV Rebels as a 45-point underdog, considered by many the biggest point upset in modern-day history.
Appalachian State, Michigan.
Famously, App State, Michigan.
That was the one that kind of started it all.
Really did, and it was the first one that we had where even average college football fans could point to that and say, "Oh wow, that's funny. Oh wow, that didn't happen to my team." And a number of different things.
But then it did.
It's happened to a lot of our teams. 1926, Carnegie Tech versus Notre Dame, where a heavy underdog Carnegie Tech beat the legendary Notre Dame team.
Oh, good.
And I bring that up because obviously I dislike Notre Dame, but this. Out of all of those, App State, Michigan, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's in this list. And it's also one where I think it's noteworthy that Michigan was trying. Nobody questions Michigan's trying in that game. In this game, from the opening snap, UCLA wanted it more. And I don't know that Penn State wanted it at all.
Penn State could have folded after getting beat by Oregon.
How many times in our lifetime can you remember you can physically watch a game and you can see that a team has given up, that you can see that a coach has lost the locker room? I remember at the end of the run of Coach Quinville in Chicago with the Blackhawks, and that was a team that, we're talking hockey players, so they're still going out there, but you see that there's a different speed, something's changed, the words aren't hitting the same. James Franklin, I don't know how well he had that locker room to begin the season. It is lost.
Usually.
It is gone.
In my experiences, the younger the age of the team, the easier it is to lose the focus, lose the eyes, lose the heart. So, I mean, pros, you don't see it too often, but you do see it. Like, you can see a collapse in the playoffs coming a mile away.
Man.
In some cases.
I am prouder and happier to be a fan of Northern Illinois University in the MAC than I ever would be being a Penn State football fan. I'm not talking about you graduate from there or whatever.
Right.
Although we could talk about their Big Ten basketball team is just as bad in many levels, or much worse in many ways than this team. At least this team has some talent on it and put some talent in the NFL. But if you don't move on from James Franklin, you're telling your not only the fans, not only the students, but you're most importantly to the university telling the boosters, this is the standard. We're average. We're fine with this.
Well, I don't know.
We're okay with that.
I'll argue that because there's a lot of people wearing red and white that would love to be where Penn State is right now.
Agreed, but that they're not Penn State. Penn State is much different about this. This is what they got. Wisconsin has much more than just football. Wisconsin has much more of an identity than just that. Penn State has a couple of things that they can hang their hat on.
Volleyball, wrestling,
volleyball.
Football.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They need this. And they only funnel their money into certain things.
Right.
Look at the money that Penn State put into this team. They got a defensive coordinator making NFL head coach money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ain't Wisconsin. There's a lot of teams, I agree with you, that would kill to have this record, that would kill to have James Franklin. They're going to have a chance at him. They're going to have a good chance at him because he ain't staying there. That's not the way Penn State runs things. I am from an era where Penn State football really did matter.
Yep.
And they competed every year. They were for championships and all this. Those days are long gone, and a lot of it is rightfully so. They did it to themselves. The biggest scandal in college football history, and I hope that it is never topped. I hope that they never top that one.
Give it time.
But it's something that they brought on themselves, and I do not like to necessarily bury something that's already 6 feet under. But Penn State football is not coming back. You never say never, but I'm saying it. It ain't coming back. They could be a decent team. They could be a team that's going to win some games. But I am done with them in the top 25 preseason polls. I am done ever. I don't care if my father's coaching the team. I am never believing any bit of hype of this team until they are literally in a national championship game and having a chance to win it. I am so tired of them. They are in the same category now for me as the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Yankees and any of these teams like the over in the East or the Cowboy brand that it is that we hear talked about so darn much and wasted time. I said it before the season even began, and I am doubling it. I'm doubling down on it now. Penn State is done. And if you are a Nittany Lion fan, please feel free to call in and correct me. I love a good challenge, but I don't think you got one. I don't know how you defend this coaching.
They're going to be bowl eligible, and they could even be New Year's Day bowl eligible, but because of the pecking order of how bowls do it. But I don't think they're getting in the playoff.
Penn State could win a bowl game, and it wouldn't. It's not going to matter. I don't care what the bowl game is. Although the Pop-Tart Bowl is underrated. The Pop-Tart Bowl is getting more and more credit.
You could be like my buddy. You could be like my buddy Cole Walters with the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, that's another one too. James Madison over Virginia Tech in 2010. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was when Virginia Tech was falling apart. When I was Frank Beamer, that was the beginning of the end of Frank Beamer,
the end of Beamer.
Yeah, that's too bad. I always liked him.
Beamer ball. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun teams that he put out there. A lot of great recruit.
A lot of wins that he never should have had, but because of the way they played.
College football weekend was, I thought a lot of fun. A lot of things are starting to become clearer, with the top 25 and where things are going to fall and everything. I was a little
Swamp got Texas. I called that one.
Yeah, you did. And not only that, everything I've been saying about James Franklin, I could pretty much say about Steve Sarkisian. Like, if he doesn't have the relationship he does with Nick Saban and get that title being under Saban's as an offensive coordinator, not only is he not of the Texas job, I don't know that he's in Division One football.
He might still be at Washington.
He was at Washington after USC. So I could see possibly, but I don't. I talk about another coach to me that is overrated. They have got every offensive lineman on Texas is getting $1 million. They all have six-figure deals.
Wonderful.
And I don't know how to judge Archie Manning right now because he does not have time back there.
No.
I'm not at all excusing the young man because he has to take plenty of ownership of his game over this season so far.
But I feel bad blowing $500. I don't know how Texas feels bad blowing $5 million.
Can't even begin to imagine, man, if I'm a booster for Tech, especially the way they take football. Because, again, it's different. Yep. It's just different down there, man. I know you know this, but I'm saying that to me, to just reiterate how dang different it is. And as much as I did the play To Kill a Mockingbird, and one of the things we had a difficult time.
One of the few books I liked.
So honor being in that show, man. I get to play Sheriff Heck Tate, and one of the things we had a hard time teaching the kids, and we got good actors. These kids were great, but there's a rabid dog scene. And to the kids, we're trying to get them, okay, now a rabid dog gets in a rural neighborhood and stuff, and it's dangerous. It's really freaky and stuff. And to these kids, like, oh, no, dog. And like, because to them, they just call, the Humane Society or they call Animal Services or something like that. They're not used to what it was like back in the day.
Well, even some rural settings today.
Some things you just don't understand unless you've experienced it. Unless you've been in Texas during a Friday night in Texas. Anywhere in Texas, let alone in the multiple places I've been in, it's insane the way it is. And honestly, I love it. I could live down, like the way people vacation, I could see vacationing in Texas just during the high school football season.
Ooh,
I could see doing that.
And then you even have spring football, too.
Oh, God, I'd love it. Oh, I'd be in heaven, man. I could see easily, like, that'd be a retirement thing to me. I could see doing that.
We know what James will be doing.
it's awesome, the passion. And it's not, it's like every single fan that at least that I met, every single fan is well educated. It's not like they're just dumb rooting for their home team. Like, they'll be honest with you. They're like, I don't know about this one kid, but we're pulling for him. It's different. Any takeaways for you from the college football weekend?
Oh man, Florida did what I kind of wondered if they would with Texas. Oklahoma just killed Kent State. The Golden Flashes were much more than a flash there. Got shut out.
But with a backup quarterback.
Right, and that makes you feel, if you're an Oklahoma fan, maybe a little better about this game coming up this weekend in the Red River Shootout with those Texas Longhorns. The Miami game, Florida State, I would say, even though they didn't win, Luke Fickell has to be pretty happy with his team showing, because I mean it was a 10-7 game going in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they got beat 24-10. Yeah, what people were thinking it was going to be.
I think I think fans can take moral victories. I know the coaching staffs and players never will, and I don't expect them to. But as fans, between the Alabama and Michigan games, I think if you're a Wisconsin
fan, you saw a lot of improvement.
Absolutely, and that's all you can go on. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better than it got a lot worse.
I mean, you're going to probably see a 5-3 ball game with Iowa this week.
Yeah.
And then what, the 2:30 start against Ohio State, and that's going to get – I know a lot about ugly, and that's going to get ugly.
I hope that it isn't, and we will, of course, have the game for you this Saturday right here at WFHR. Pregame will kick off at 4:00. That could be an ugly game, Wisconsin and Iowa.
Yeah,
a lot of defense. I love defensive football, so I'll enjoy it, but I don't know how many other people will. Ohio State, Miami at number 1 and 2, Oregon at 3, Ole Miss at number 4. Just interesting. Texas A&M into the top 5, Oklahoma at number 6, Michael's Oklahoma, Indiana at number 7, Alabama at 8, Texas Tech at 9, and rising. Keep an eye on Texas Tech at the very least defense, and Georgia at number 10, LSU at number 11. LSU is going to make me laugh all season just because of Brian Kelly.
Nope.
I have nothing against LSU. I have nothing. I actually like that team for the most part over the years, but not Brian Kelly. Tennessee at 12, Georgia Tech, who I'm just silently pulling for because my buddy Ryan, and Missouri and Michigan 14 and 15. Not a lot of changes and not a lot of surprises, although I will say that I expected a little more out of Vanderbilt, and I think that's encouraging if you're a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're at, that you let us down a little bit. Not that we expected you to win, but just expected a better game, and we're saying that about Vanderbilt football.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt.
That's pretty good. Florida State didn't get out of the top 25 completely. They sit there at 25.
Right.
I thought that was an interesting to see, whereas not the same could be said for Cincinnati and Texas and Penn State, all out of the top 25, Utah as well. I don't know how Nebraska is ranked 60th. Like, I don't get that. You got Navy getting some votes for the top 25, so I like always representing our service teams. Yeah, I think that things are starting to shape out a little bit.
I think it was kind of a run-of-the-mill weekend.
One of the things that I feel like stands out very much, and we're just now getting to the heart of these the schedules for these teams, where we're going to get a lot more conference games.
I mean, Oklahoma's schedule coming up. Oh, baby.
That's rough. We're going to see a lot of crabs in a barrel. A lot of these teams are going to devour them, you know, each other in their conference and everything. But I think in that part, it could play. I think it hurts the Big Ten, but I think it helps the Big 12 in regard to just, and not to say that one has an easier schedule than the other, but I think that these teams, along with the ACC, I think this really helps out the ACC. Miami's just about done with their tough schedule.
Yep.
That's all done for them.
Nope.
Now, they could always blow a game to Duke or something like that. You got Manny Ramirez, I believe, over there or something like that.
By the way, Duke looked against Cal.
Yeah. They could still blow a game easily, but if they run the course and they do their job, they should have a coast into the playoff. No pun intended with the ACC and all that. Big 12 has a bit of a similar story. Not the same by any means. I think the Big 12 is much underrated.
I think the Big 12 is better than the ACC.
Absolutely. And I think they're at the very least the third best conference in football, in college football. With the SEC, as I said last week, the SEC is not, this is not your daddy's SEC.
It's a lot of parity this year.
Big thing to look at with NIL. Where does the majority of college football talent come from in America?
It's
Florida,
a handful of states.
Texas,
Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Just to give a Cliff Notes version, I would say that Florida and Texas, you can almost guarantee there's going to be 5 and 4 stars coming out of there that could walk onto any campus in America and get a scholarship.
Florida, Texas, California, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Those are the ones that really stand out to me.
Agreed. I completely agree with that list. The SEC, while dominant for a long time, got fat and happy. And did not really have to think that they'd ever have to worry about anything else. And really did not hit Florida like it could have. You've got Florida, the Gators. You've got their representative and everything. But the other two major universities, and the two that have been more relevant, really, in a lot of ways, although Florida and Florida State have switched off on that a bit with the Tebow years and all. But still, FSU, Miami, ACC teams. And they have brought in, say what you will about Billy Napier, who I don't know how he keeps his job, but he does, and probably just kept it again. He's a great recruit. Even before Norville with Fisher and Norville, both great recruits, very good at being able to do this, and especially that pipeline talent. And then there is Mario Cristobal, who is up there on the, I'll say it, maybe even a Bowden level of recruiting, like in the way he can recruit. Jimmy Johnson was the master. Nobody was greater than Jimmy Johnson, and I'm not putting him on that level. Right. Bowden is pretty much, Bowden is on a level of his own because of his legacy and his history. But Cristobal is insane at recruiting, and he's been able to do it everywhere he's went. So the talent of Florida is basically staying in the ACC. Yeah. It's not really leaving.
No.
And if that's what you got to work with just as a base, because I'm not, obviously it's not just Florida talent. That's just a base. I mean, you got a lot to work with there, man.
Yeah. you kind of threw me for a loop in that one because I was thinking to myself, well, it wasn't all that long ago till Florida, Miami, and Florida State were absolutely horrible. And it was UCF and USF.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it was those guys that were carrying the Florida banner and doing decent.
And the majority of talent in that state would leave, would go elsewhere. We had a couple of those kids held up here in Wisconsin and everything. So that's something to keep an eye on as we go forward here with the SEC and their dominance and everything, because the talent is starting to spread out more than it ever has in college football history. And it's also going up north a bit more than it ever has.
Well, they're realizing, unfortunately, the kids, well, fortunately, unfortunately, the kids are realizing the money is up north.
Yeah.
And the money is elsewhere in the SEC. Yeah, I mean, do they want to play? Right now, I'd say it's about almost a 48-52 of play to money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they have access to the money now.
One of the things that I'm excited about with that is just parity. I think that college football is better with it. I think they're better suited to have parity. I think they're better suited when more teams are relevant, and that only suits them better because all they want to do is just keep on adding teams to the college football playoff. So they'll have that.
Yep.
I know that we had some news break today, and we had some stuff that we wanted to get into.
Yeah, for sure.
So I wanted to open the door for you to do that, Mike.
Yeah, I really don't have much more to report on that. I haven't gotten any email back other than, hey, I'm forwarding your email to the next person in line. But WIAA, they came out with their, I don't know what to call it, realignment task force. And boy, I opened that up and I had a surprise. It was the, what I saw was, well, this is the exact thing. The following schools have declared that they will be applying for conference realignment for non-football sports during the 2025-26 conference realignment cycle. Completed applications are due November 1st, 2025 at 11:59 a.m. A list of those completing applications will be available on the November 16th, 2025. So, I mean, you have some that are constantly in it, like Appleton West and Brookfield East, Brookfield Central, those normal ones.
Yeah.
Here's one that I'm going to hit you with. D.C. Everest, Marshfield, Stevens Point Area Senior High, Wausau East, Wausau West, Wisconsin Rapids, Lincoln. To me, what that says is the Valley Conference may be dissolving. Wow. If I am guessing, and you're talking about conference, it's 104 years old. So I don't like seeing that.
Yeah.
But you're seeing what's been a problem for the last going on 20 years once the paper mill industry started to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing industry leave central Wisconsin. You're seeing numbers leave. And you're seeing it go towards the cities. and you're seeing it go towards Green Bay, the Fox Valley area, Green Bay, Fox River Valley, whatever you want to call it, in southern Wisconsin. So what that says to me is the local schools are kind of seeing the writing on the wall and saying, we, you know, scheduling is so difficult. We might need to split to make scheduling games easier, because we'll play each other. We'll always play each other in non-conference games. But we might have to split to get in a conference to make it easier for all of us. And I don't like seeing it. So it's non-football. It's non-football. So we're talking what I would say. Merrill just left the conference. This is Merrill's first year out of the Valley. So now you have all those schools in a basketball, wrestling, hockey, baseball, softball. So that it makes it tough. And you have to have a certain amount of conference games, and they're getting right up there. And I mean, you saw it just the other year when they the South Central Conference brought in Berlin and Ripon. So I don't know what's going on. I haven't had a for sure conversation of what, okay, what's going on. But when I open, and it was published on the 1st last week, and you just never read anything. And they probably didn't post it up until today once they got all the information. So I'm looking at that saying, boy, oh boy, what's going on here?
They're not the only one. I'm not just blaming them, but the WIAA could do a much better job promoting their information and news, and especially things like this when it's coming up, when it's going on.
And I mean, it's always a problem in southeastern Wisconsin. I mean, like I said, you have Brookfield schools, you have Franklin, Germantown, Grafton, Hamilton, Kenosha, Tremper. But you have some smaller ones up north, like Luck, Altoona, looking through some of these, Shawano for boys hockey, Viroqua, Westby. So, I mean, there are schools that are, what do you expect? You know, there's schools that are going in areas that a lot of schools are co-oping now instead of having standalone schools.
I'm always gonna, of course, lean to, hey, let's get these games played. What do you got to do to make them get played? And if it keeps the teams alive and keeps the sports alive, that's more important than, these kids are more important than anything else, no matter how long a conference has been around or how much we love our university, our schools, our alma maters or anything. The kids come first. And they should be able to play these games. That's what's important. That said, I don't feel good about this. I'm not sure how much. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth, man.
I can see where conceivably certain sports go to this conference. Certain sports go to this conference. I could see that because just the way things are scheduled. I could see hockey going to the Great Northern. If that's how things went. I mean, they already, maybe to a point, girls basketball and boys basketball go over to the Fox Valley Association. Maybe a bunch of that would go to the Mississippi Valley, which is like Toma, Sparta, La Crosse, or in some to the big rivers, which is Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and Superior. I don't know, because I don't know if there's a good fit for of them.
It's too early to, and we don't need material that bad to do an hour on what ifs.
Right.
But I do appreciate you bringing this to us. I don't know that it's being covered that much, and especially given that you got pretty much all of our local teams involved in this. You've got
you got one of the oldest conferences in the state. You have some of the oldest tenured rivalries in the state. And that's just Rapids Point, Rapids Marshfield.
We saw an uproar with Oklahoma and Texas wanting to leave the Big 12, and what was going to happen with the rivalries and some of these things. And
I mean, Bedlam's done.
It's this stuff that we love about our, especially football, but all sports. All sports have them, and not for nothing. But you know, the assumption. Lady Royals and the run that they have had over the years, I am positive that, you know, if anything, my brother, if anybody else, but I'm guessing a lot more than just him, Assumption fans are going to be paying attention to what's going on with that and everything.
Yes and no, because, I mean, with Assumption, they're a small school in the Merrillwood Conference, okay? And they traditionally have some of the best girls sports and on occasion boys sports too. So they come up here and they're in the Marrowood. They sometimes get their brains beat in by some of those bigger schools, D3, D4 schools, Stratfords, Edgars, whatever. And then once playoff time comes, they go and run roughshod over all these D5 teams and win a state title. Well, that makes the Marrowood Conference look better, and then just the talent that Assumption has makes everybody else look better. So let's just say, for an example, no, we don't want them. We want to go more to all D5 school conference and go to, no disrespect, but the CWC, where Port and Almond and Wild Rose. Assumption's going to wreck them. I'm going basketball on this. Mm-hmm. They're going to wreck them more often than not in girls basketball. But then they come out of there, then what? Then what?
Yeah.
And so that's why Assumption does not see, I don't foresee Assumption leaving the Marrowood anytime soon.
Michael will be following this story with us. We'll be keeping an eye on this one for sure. For now, we're going to take a quick time out, take care of our partners. And when we come back, we got a special fourth period for everybody. I looked into our green room, and we don't have a green room. We just have a hallway. But we do have a nice hallway with Pam out there, and we got our GM head coach, Paul Peckman, with us. He's going to be a part of the fourth period. When we come back, we're talking River Kings hockey. Here on Playmakers, we speak sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI's Playmakers.
You believe in miracles?
Hit us in the numbers by calling up and join the conversation with your sports takes and feelings.
What the hell's going on out here?
We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local and state sports coverage that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Assumption Royals are going to win the state championship.
All thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Playmakers, we speak sports.
Get up, get out of here, and go.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. And highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday. Highs staying in the 60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon out there. Michael and James here with you. We're going to kick into the fourth period now with our good friend, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, with us right now. Coach, before we get too far ahead, I want to congratulate you on your 100 victories. Now, since that happened a little while ago, now that you've added a couple more to that list, but congrats, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well-earned, well-deserved, not the end of milestones for you, as far as especially in those colors. We're looking forward to that. But Michael, I know that you had something you wanted to get into with Coach real quick.
Yeah. The big thing that was, so pull back the curtain a little bit. Coach was kind enough to send me a tentative schedule back in the day, July, August, and that's for me to kind of get a schedule put together for the station and in my personal life to keep a girlfriend moderately disappointed instead of totally disappointed,
right?
Because me being busy all the time. schedule's a bit different this year than what we expected. There's one fewer team instead of the nine that is customarily in the North Division. Dells, no squad this year.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, right? It's yeah, I don't even know where to go with this because it's this. The league brought in, you know, one guy in particular that just said he had all these teams that he was going to start, and about 7 out of 11 have folded.
Oh, no.
Didn't even get to start, and he was the guy purchasing the Dells.
Oh, no.
And that deal never went through, so, you know, and Sean Falzone, the owner, is a good friend of mine, and he got stuck, you know, in a bad situation, so he had to go dormant for a year. And
that's horrible. Hopefully they can come back.
Well, that's the plan. I know he wants to, and it's just we'll see what happens. You know?
So what that does, that created four open slots for games because you had the two at the Dells, two at home against the Dells. Mm-hmm. How did they come to a solution with that? Because, I mean, I saw the schedule, and you're playing Minnesota, formerly known as Isanti, and Steele County, and I want to say the Blue Ox another time. Mm-hmm. How did the coaches come together for that? Because it's not just a Rapids thing. It's everybody in the North had to come up with four games.
All divisions are having all kinds of issues. And for us, the two home games, the last two home games of the regular season, the Friday night game will be against the Outlaws again.
Right, because just play them the weekend before, too.
I know. And the league put this together.
Yeah.
So the last game will be against Steele County.
Right.
And the away games, we have to play the Ox on a Thursday night.
Yep.
Before we go to Hudson for Friday, Saturday.
Right.
The other game is going to be against Northwest, which we still don't have a date for.
Okay.
So, as of right now, the home games are still in play. You know, but the way Minnesota Outlaws, they're struggling, right? I mean, there's no denying that. But they worked hard, and listen, they had us on our toes a little bit on Saturday. So,
yeah, they did.
I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah,
they played hard.
Let's get into the weekend games here, Coach. Friday, 12-0 victory over Minnesota. Nice one right there. I almost got a football score in there on that one.
You did.
Pretty much, you're right. And as you mentioned there, Saturday, a nice victory, too. 10-3 victory over that one. When you're 4-0 on the season, and when you're sitting here like your team is right now, not only doing what you are this season, but coming off of the momentum of last season, where are you finding places to improve your team when they're hitting on all notes right now? They're hitting on all cylinders.
Well, believe it or not, we're not. And we have some guys that are new that still we're looking for chemistry that I feel can be very good together. They just got to get on the same page, and we're going through that now. You have guys like Diamond, Ostrand, and Ilyin that are just on fire, right? So you're riding their backs a little bit, and Jack Choi is a guy that's very good. He came from the Dells. Ruffalo is the guy from New Jersey Titans, and the other guy, Daniel, I don't even want to botch up his last name there, but Coro.
He's got every letter in the alphabet.
They're very good players, right? And now we just got to get in sync a little bit. So we were going through that today, and tomorrow we'll hopefully before the showcase. And we got a couple new guys that just came in and started skating today too. So we've added to the roster. We got a guy, Colin Ryan, that's coming from Utica. Who's going to be a big plus for us in our lineup and brings a lot of speed and energy. So I'm excited to get him going. And that gives us another line, so more depth. You know, when you start playing in showcases, four games in 3 days, you didn't need it.
Yeah, because you guys definitely have that coming up. And it was funny, you talk about that last game against the Outlaws. I'm sitting there and thinking, oh, boy, they got a scrap on their hands. They got 5-3. It's going into the third period, 5-3. No? I'll have to keep an eye on that on the phone as I was watching Florida State-Miami, and I looked the next thing, and, oh, it's 10-3. Oh, I guess maybe not. But it was funny how quickly you guys turned the table on that one.
Well, let's just say they didn't like what I had to say in between periods. Right?
So. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
It was time to wake everybody up a little bit, but it was good because it was a test of a little challenge, a little adversity. We were up 4-1, right, and then all of a sudden we get a couple penalties, and now we're playing 5-on-3, and they score two quick goals, and next thing you know, it's 4-3, and you're like, okay, well, how are you going to respond, right? And we got one right before the end of the period, and then we went in a locker room and just regrouped and caught an earful.
Quote unquote.
That's a great way to put it. That's a great way to put it. That word has never worked harder. Regrouping has never worked harder. I'd like to do something with you when we get a chance here, Coach, every once in a while, and highlight some of these guys, not only so the audience can get more familiar with them, especially when they're coming to these home games and stuff, but certainly to give them an opportunity to talk to them more. And you always are great about bringing these guys on the air with us and everything, and had a great time at the media day. Talk with each of them. My new favorite Canadian hockey player is Noah Diamond. I enjoyed, and that was before the season even kicked off, I already enjoyed this kid. How good can he be? Where can he take this? Because, there was a time where his size might come in here, or where he's playing, or some of these factors. But I'm looking across the NHL, and I watch this sport very closely, and I'm seeing kids make it all kinds of different levels, and his size and his speed is right in line with where the NHL is right now with their wings.
Yeah, he is a very talented kid, and you're right. And he is the product of the process, right? Last year he was the guy that he got hurt a little bit too much, and I know he was frustrated with that. He was more of a PK guy. Mm-hmm. Now he rips off 20 points in four games, right? So he only had 29 all last year.
Yeah, he was kind of a physical enforcer last year instead of the skill guy, and now he's coming through as a skill guy.
Well, yeah, and he's only $1.55, $1.60 soaking wet, playing a physical game, and he get banged up a little bit, right? But so his role has definitely changed. Obviously, he's playing on a power play, and he's doing a great job with Ilyin, who had, he had 11 points on the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Diamond
had
another 10. So those guys are really, really connecting really well. And Noah is a kid that I really expect him to go to the next level next year. I think he can.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably at the NCDC level is more his fit, which will open up, obviously, a few more doors and avenues to get to college.
Yeah, we're going to be following him as we follow our Kings up and down the river and all across the world. We love these guys once they get here, especially. Coach, you mentioned the showcase coming up this weekend and everything. Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, for those especially that don't know what this is, they got the Jersey Hitmen Classic. Coach going to his old stomping grounds out east there. What does this entail for the players, for you guys?
Well, for me, the reason why I go to these things is obviously for the college exposure, right? So going out into the Northeast, you get the luxury of all those schools that are out there, right? And so that's always a big part. And for us, playing four games, we're going to leave tomorrow night. It's an 18-hour ride, so we'll get there mid-Wednesday. We play two games on Thursday, so we got to be ready for that. And you got to adjust your schedule and make sure, you're getting good meals in between, right? And then we play Friday afternoon, and then we got the rest of the day to recover, and then we don't play until Saturday night. So we got a lot of time in between, but it also gives us time to talk to schools. We're going to go visit Rutgers, right? So we're going to do a college tour out there, and then we're going to watch some teams. So you got to do your process, right? And evaluate
and different teams than you've seen out there in the past too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Bank is going to be very good. They're all four teams are going to be very good. So it's going to be a great test for us to see where we're at, and that's the barometer coming back for the home opener next weekend.
And what an opportunity for these kids get seen by scouts, get seen by more people than they probably have, if at all, ever in their career. So that's a really cool opportunity. Certainly looking forward to talking about this when you get back from the trip. Wishing you safe travels, everybody. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.
And hope it'll be successful no matter what, just because these kids getting this opportunity.
Right.
But I bet on our Kings. I bet on them. You mentioned the home opener. October 17th, 7 o'clock. Mark it on your calendar if it isn't already done. You will be at the Southwick County Rec Center. If you had other plans, I'm sorry. You will be at the Rec Center. It is our home opener. Hudson coming to town. What have you guys seen of Hudson so far this season? What are you thinking of him so far?
Hudson,
it's early.
It's not the same team as they were last year, I'll tell you that. They're pretty good. Every team, Steele County is better. Northwest is very good. Squatch, again, very good. The Ox are undefeated at, what, 6-0 now? I mean, they're a team to be reckoned with. So it's from here on now, it gets down and dirty, right? So I'm excited to see where we stand. And everybody has picked it up a notch.
We're excited too, Coach. We're looking forward to it. Cannot thank you enough for the time. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Michael and I will be back with more show, everybody, coming up. But we encourage you to go to riverkingshockey.com. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Share their posts on your page. You never know who might see it otherwise. Again, riverkingshockey.com. And, of course, be ready because the season is upon us. It is right around the corner, October 17th. Our first home game right here on 105.5 WIRI, as every home game will be all season long. Looking forward to following the Kings up and down the river right here on 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, WhamInc.com. WHAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association at this station.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river.
Game on!
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe an evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s, and highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday, highs staying in the 60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Hope you all are having a great one out there. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show, and a gigantic thank you to our good friend, head coach, GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, joining us. That was awesome. I could talk to that man all day. That's fantastic. We'll be cheering on our Kings over the weekend as they are over in Jersey at the Hitman Classic. And, of course, again, October 17th, 7 o'clock, Southwood County Rec Center. Be there as we take on Hudson Havoc and kick off the 25 26 season. We got a game the very next night as well at 7 o'clock. Make sure and make plans for that one as well. We got actually four home games kind of in a row here. That'll be nice.
Yeah, against the Havoc, two against the Express.
Get to wrap up October in a fun way. That'll be cool. Michael, I don't know if you had anything, but I did have one or two other things I did want to get to, including a kind of stat of the show, but one story that does not ever get covered nearly enough for me in sports, and it's been a subject of matter here at Playmakers, and when it was Coffee and Sports, every incarnation we've had this. And I don't know enough people that are covering this subject for me, for my liking. Last week, Malik Nabers, one of the most exciting receivers in football, had his knee blown out, and his season done. And we don't
a bunch
know
of guys have. It's
well, just talking about this injury in particular. Okay. I want to focus on that one.
Okay.
Because it was due to field turf playing surface. When I was a kid, one of my favorite players was Wendell Davis, wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
One of the few decent, good receivers the Bears have ever had. He was just a great player, a lot of fun, fast, and the Eagles and Bears are playing. So I got Randall Cunningham, and I got the Bears. I got it. I'm set. I could not be happier. And then, like, early in the game, Wendell Davis goes up for a simple jump ball, and his cleats catch in the turf, and he breaks both his legs. And he's done, just done, because of the playing surface, not because of a hit from another player, not because of even an off-field injury or an off-ball injury, as they call it, or something, but because of the playing surface. Malik Nabers, all these years later, 30-some years later, Malik Nabers is getting injured because of the playing surface. These players sign up to get hit. They sign up to play a warrior sport. They know what they're signing up for. They are grown men. They get paid a lot of money to play a kid's game, and they understand what they are signing up for. What they are not signing up for, and what we are fans are not signing up for,
crap field conditions,
is horrible field conditions. So whether we are talking out in New Jersey, or we are talking in northern Chicago, or Heinz Field, or anywhere. Think of how many we could have the callers. We could all take turns and just start naming names here, and we could fill up the end of the show. We got 10 more minutes, and that's all we could do if we wanted.
Yep.
That's how many bad playing surfaces there are in sports. And I don't know if this falls on everybody in many ways, because players have unions. And if they were fighting for playing conditions, maybe something might have been done. I don't know how much it comes up in negotiations. So if it doesn't come up, that's on them. And the ownership that have more money than Solomon, whining and complaining and not taking care of these fields, for whatever reason, there is no legitimate excuse. None for this kind of stuff to continue to happen. This is not only a hill I will die on, it's a hill that I can die on because the conditions are good. It's actual grass that I'm standing on. It's the most ridiculous thing possibly in all of sports to me. The idea that these fields are not better taken care of. The fact that these fields are not at the most money that they can spend on these darn things that they're doing. Now, I will say, I pay a lot of attention to it, so I can say that Soldier Field, I know they put money into it. They just don't seem to get it right. And it doesn't help anything when these owners see a little bit of money, so they're going to have a little bit of a high school game before the Sunday game. Or they're going to have Bruce Springsteen come to town and perform on that same field before the players do 24 hours later. It's the most ridiculous thing in sports, and the fact that fans don't care tells me a lot about where you are as a fan. If you don't care about this, if you don't think it's an issue, it tells me a whole lot about, I really don't care about these guys at all. All I care about is my team, and that's fine. I'm not judging that. It's sports, baby. This is America. You like what you like, do what you do. But to me, it says a whole lot about you as a human being that you don't care one little bit. Like, again, I understand that they're going to go out there and Tyreek Hill's going to have his leg flipped over like he's a G.I. Joe guy. That's football. That happens. I've seen that happen my whole life. I've seen Mike Utley get hurt. I've seen what happened with that play. I remember that. Mike Utley didn't get hurt because of the turf. Tyreek Hill didn't get injured because of the turf. I mean, it's ridiculous.
There's arguments on both sides of it, James. And that's, you can have natural turf.
What is the argument on the other side?
Well, here, what I'm getting into it is, you can have your natural turf, Well, Lambo is a bad example because it's a synthetic natural. That's the only one like it, if I remember right. But anyways, you can have pure turf like Soldier Field. That's the fastest example I had. Heinz Field. Okay, you can have your full turf. You end up having a mud bowl in January. You got to bring that turf up in the middle of January when it's not going to root. It's just going to be sitting there. It's going to be in a horrible condition. Now, that's that late season stuff that makes it tough. A lot of times, these organizations, they want to save a buck. You put in the synthetic. Why do you think more school districts are doing it? Because you only have to replace it. Yeah. It's a cheaper investment. Because you don't have to fertilize it, you don't have to water it, you don't have to keep repainting it. You got to replace it once every 10 years. You can have multi-events in one day on that. And there's another side to that, too, because look at what happened down at Canton, Ohio, when Green Bay was going to, when Favre went in. The stuff that they put on for the Hall of Fame enshrinement, it melted the turf. Mm-hmm. And they could not play that Hall of Fame game. So you can have the best of both worlds, but it's still not going to be good. Now, you can talk to players like Dave Bakhtiari. He's one of those who are saying it should all be natural grass because the turf doesn't have forgiveness. I agree with him on that. Now, I will say modern turf is a lot better than it was about, 15 years ago. Because I remember when I first started walking on that one, Gurkey Park, up a point, first got that, my knees killed me after walking on that. It sucked. I hated it. But now I can walk across whatever's at Southwood County or Nakusa. Oh, my knees don't hurt anymore. Mm. So what I'm saying here is people are going to get hurt. It's just a matter of what. Now, what we have for synthetic, the fake stuff, is way better than the carpet that they had on Soldier's Field and the Astrodome back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's way better. I don't think we can have any argument about that.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said that the Meadowlands turf, that is one that people have complained about. That is one. Now, should every turf... That's why some guys don't want to go down in South America, because those turf fields are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not designed for the physicality.
They just spray paint concrete green down there, man. Yeah.
Sometimes.
I've had friends that have known that have played there a long time ago, but just saying a long time ago, that's how it was.
My take on this is what you said. An injury is going to happen. The guys sign up for it. Whether it's a broken arm, broken leg, CTE, unfortunately, they sign up for it. They know the risks. They go into it. Now, back in the day, it wasn't always that way. I get that. But nowadays, they know. And that's where, you're going to have some crappy turf in Chicago, whether it's real or not. You're going to have some crappy turf in Minnesota, whether it's wherever it's going to be. Miami. You're going to have frozen ground. You're going to have it all. But as a professional, you know what you signed up for. And now it stinks because as a fan, I want to see the best players out there. I want to see it. I do. But I also understand that as a fan, it might not be. And whether whose fault it is, if it's no one's fault, I mean, I don't know.
I am all understanding of things happen, outliers. I am a living, breathing outlier. I pay quite a lot of attention to it, and I've studied this subject in depth quite a bit. Part of the reason I wanted to bring it to you is because I have not talked to a lot of people that have an understanding of grass and that like you do and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, really value and appreciate your feedback on this one. And I'm not saying this directed at you, but when I hear from owners, all I hear is excuses and money. And all I know is that you guys got more money than Solomon. And if it's too much, get out of the game. If your excuse is, but the cost, get out of the game. You don't have to own an NFL team. Get out of the game.
No, Mike.
Sell your team.
I have a question.
Let the big boys play over here because I'm tired of the excuse of money when these guys are literally printing it.
My question is, how many of those places that have that, is it a team run? Is it the team taking care of that? Or if it's a municipality that has a say in that, we don't want to be doing this. Let's make it this because it's more durable than as well. That's another question that I have then, too.
One other stat of the show. Well, this is a story that's probably not going anywhere, so we'll keep this one going.
No.
Stat of the show, sort of. UCLA had not led in any game this season until the Penn State game.
That sounds right.
I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Penn State had not led period, in any game, at any point during any game this season. Or, I'm sorry,
trailed.
UCLA.
Okay,
had not
like,
led at any point this season during any point. Like from the open, like they didn't have like a 3-0 score in the end of the first quarter or something like that. Nothing. Not at one point this season did UCLA have any kind of lead until the Penn State game. I've never heard of a stat like that.
Kicking them when they're down, man.
I just can't help it. Because they've earned it. They've done this to themselves. The Philadelphia Phillies are offering a 999 challenge box this offseason. That is a where a participant must consume 9 hot dogs, 9 beers over the course of 9 innings of a baseball game.
That's tough because you just don't know because of the pitch clock. That makes it tough.
It's a tough challenge. I don't know. I wouldn't mind that challenge.
I could probably do the beer. I don't know about the hot dogs though.
I know this. If I don't succeed, it's not me that's going to suffer. It's everybody around me probably that's going to suffer.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be enjoying myself. I don't think that anybody else around me, anybody going to the game with me, would want me to do that. Jackson Churio looks like he's going to be starting in left field for Game 2 for the Milwaukee Brewers. It should be an exciting one. We'll be talking a little bit more about this throughout the week, of course, as the Major League Baseball playoffs are going strong and have been pretty darn exciting. The series Seth and I are rooting for is the Seattle-Milwaukee one. Seattle kind of showing a little bit more, showing a little life there. And congratulations to Julio Rodriguez with a all-time Mariner moment there that was kind of cool to see for a kid that's struggled a bit here and there.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Michael, thank you so much for pitch hitting
no
today.
No problem.
Appreciate you all out there. Laura's got some great music for you coming up right here.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Monday. Let's kick the show off with Keith Urban.
States jammed with gunners like me, afraid of coming in last. But somewhere